Okay, today's daf is Lamed Aleph. We're going to start at the Tanu Rabbanan. It's about 11 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Mayim shenitgalu harei ze lo yishpachem b'rishut harabim. You can't spill water that was left exposed. Remember the concern about the snake putting its venom in the water. You can't throw it in and spill it out into rishut harabim. V'lo yarbitz behen et habayit. You can't use it for washing the floors. V'lo yigabel behem et hatit. You can't mix it to make the... to make clay out of it, and you can't give it to your animals either, not to yours, not to your friends' animals. And by the way, you wonder why it just won't be animals in general, why they have to say his own animals and his friends' animals. Hold off on that question because they're not going to address it straight on, but I have an answer from something we're going to see later. You can't wash your hands, your face, your hands, and your feet. It's only places where there's crevices in your body that you have to worry. The venom, right? The idea is, the Quran has a good note about different types of snakes that exist in Israel, and they talk about that some of them, you know, if you just put it on your skin, you're not going to have any issues, but if it goes into where you have a wound or something, an open wound, so that's more problematic. So that's going to follow this Achayrim's opinion, that only when there's a sirta, it's going to be asur.
This is if it's an issue for whether it enters the bloodstream, which is, I think, the same thing.
Right, yeah, it's the same. Right, so that's a good way of saying it, whether it's entering the bloodstream or not. And then the Gemara says, so that's the end of the Braita. The Gemara says, Achirim hainu tanakam, isn't that the same thing? Because panav yadav raglav seem to have openings. So they say, Ika benayu gav hayav gav haregel. Okay, the top of the foot and the top of the hand, which is just skin. So then Achirim would say there's no problem with it, whereas panav yadav raglav, the Tanakama would say it's problematic. The Romane de Ape and the cheekbones. Amarmar, lo yesh kemehem lo behem tova lo behem at chaviro. Now we're going to talk about that line that I said seemingly a little strange. Why didn't they just say behemot in general? V'hatanya, isn't there a brayta that says, aval mashkeu leh behemat atzmo? You can give the water to your own animals, which now I'll tell you why it's obvious. If one brayta said you can give animals, you can give to your own animals, so the other brayta, instead of just saying you can give it to animals, wanted to say that, I'm sorry, you can't give it to animals, wanted to disagree with this opinion and say, well, I distinct, right? In other words, our brayta is going to say across the board, not your animals, not anyone else's animals, because this one said not anyone's animals, but yes, your own animals. Okay, obviously now we're going to have to say, if it's dangerous to the animals, why are you allowed to do it to your own animals? Kitanya hahilis shunra. They're relating this brayta, which says you can give to your own animals, is talking about cats, who are not susceptible to the venom of the animals. So then they say, well, if cats are not an issue, so why is it only allowed for your own animals, your own cats? Presumably it should be allowed for anybody's cats. So they say, dechavre kachish. It weakens Dechavre, it'll weaken his animals. So then they say, well, it'll weaken the cat. In other words, it won't kill the cat, but it'll weaken it. So then they say, well, if it's going to weaken the cat, then didei nami kachish. And whatever you're going to say for one is going to be relevant to your own animals. Why would you be allowed to weaken your own cat? So they say, hadr bari, because it'll get better. So what's the big deal? So they say, well, then dechavre nami hadr bari. Then why shouldn't you be allowed to give it to your friend's cats? It'll get better. So here's the final answer. Zimne debay lizvune umapsid lemine. If it's your own animal, so you know that the animal ended up, you gave this water to your animal, to your cat to drink, and your cat got weakened by it but not killed by it. So it didn't kill the cat, so therefore it's allowed. And you know that right now it's weak, but it'll get better in a few days. You don't really care. But your friend, if you give water to your friend's cat and your friend has no idea that the cat drank this water, and therefore has no idea when the cat's looking sickly that it's actually going to get better, so the friend might want to just sell his cat, in which case he's going to have a severe financial loss because he's selling the cat in a very weakened position, and he doesn't realize that tomorrow or in a few days the cat's going to be fine and well. So therefore you can only do it to your own cat, but not to your friend's cat.
About which two things. One is it shows really that there's much of a concept of pets, because here's this, if something isn't looking right, you sell it. There's no concept of treating the cat.
Yes.
And taking care of it. It just wasn't what they
clearly. But the or at least you have to remember, It's not necessarily true, but it's a possibility, right? They're raising this as a possibility. Well, you shouldn't do this because maybe your friend will come to sell it. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone was, but yes.
So
I'm sure they didn't really have pets.
The larger picture is really what they're saying is you can choose how you treat your own animal. You can't really choose. You can't impose that on somebody else's animal.
Yes, right. And I think the obvious is, even though they don't say this, even if you didn't come up with this, you know, we got stuck into a corner that we had to come up with it to Fred's cat and that we're worried that he might sell it. But in general, I think the concept is that your friend's animals are not your own to play with. It's not your financial property to decide, okay, well, I'm going to feed it whatever I want. You know, your own animals, you can do what you want. I mean, obviously, you have to keep in mind not to cause tsar balei chayim and do something that's going to cause your animal pain. Obviously, getting your animal a little bit sick, according to this, doesn't sound like it's tsar balei chayim.
At first, I thought, go to cats. What did they use cats for? Then,
right.
Maybe they're saying whatever. But then I realized they catch rats and whatever. So maybe
Those
are used for
right.
Cats.
Exactly. I'm assuming that was used for cats. Okay. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Betera. So now they're going to tell something in the name of Rav Yehuda ben Betera. We don't necessarily paskin like everything here, but Rav Yehuda ben Betera says like this: Shalosh yenotein. He qualifies he categorizes them into three different types. There's yei nesech, that's wine that's definitely used for libations of a fodatara. Those are asur bahana'a. You cannot get any hana'a from them, any benefit. Mitam'e tum'ah chamura b'kizayit. Okay. There's a lot of words that are we have to deal with here. Number one, it's mitame, like, they say like a mate, okay? Now, here's there's a few strange things. Number one, it's a liquid, so why are we using a measurement of kizayit? Usually we use a ravid, or, you know, we use it out of a log. So why a kizayit? So the assumption is, since we're comparing it to a mate, a dead person, a mate is mitame b'kizayit, so it gets the same shiur as a mate.
What's
okay,
a mate?
So a mate, a dead person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right, So I should have, we're mitame tuma chamura, meaning it's treated like a dead person. A dead person is called avi avota tuma, which means that he can be metame, remember? He can be metame people, right? And kelim, and vessels. If it's the people that are metame by the person who's dead are already considered then you would get to an avatuma, and that's metame Rishon Natuma, which is it's mitame, food and drink. Okay, so everything goes down a level. So we're going to say, the rabbis are basically saying that Yei Nesach has the status, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, of Tuma Chamura, of a mate, which means it can be mitame, a person. Okay, this is a way of distancing people from it. Okay, and like I said, the shear is kezayit, like the dead person is also mitame b'kezayit, meaning you need a kezayit of the wine, or with the dead person, it needs to be kezayit of a dead body. Also, there's a difference between how it can be metame. It can be metame in an ohel, in a tent, in a house,
in a closed space.
It can be metame maga, by touching it, and masa, by carrying it, even if you're not actually touching it, but you're carrying it, you know, through, it's on something, and you're carrying that item, or you move it. It can be metame. Stam yenam, now we go down a level. The stam yenam, which means the yayin that we don't know of a non-Jew, we don't know what they did with it, whether they used it for libations or not. Asur bahana'a, we saw that already. It's forbidden also to get benefit from. Umutame tumat mashkin birevit. Now, nobody knows exactly what this means. There's a bit of a debate about it. I shouldn't say nobody knows, but there's different conjectures about what this means. Some people say it doesn't have tumah in and of itself. It's not mitame, but it has regular dinim of tuma and tara of a mashke, meaning if this drink came in contact with a sheretz, who's mitame, right? A sheretz is an av, which would be mitame, ochlim, and mashkim, right? It's a food and drink. This would count as food and drink. It's wine. So if it needs a minimum shear in order to become tame, if it's a teeny drop of wine, we're not going to call that tame. It has to have a ravid of wine in order to become tame if it comes in contact with a sheretz, for example. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another is, know that it's mitame tumat mashkin. It has the status of tumat mashkin. It's considered, it can be mitame other things, but at a lower level than we'd call the yei nesach. The third category is mafkid yeno etel ovei kochavim. If you give, we saw this yesterday, you give your wine to an ovei kochavim to watch, and I always put a watch, Asur b'shtia umutar b'hana. When you go to pick it up again, you are not allowed to drink this, but you can derive benefit from it.
But if it's sealed.
So it doesn't really talk about whether it's sealed or not. There's a bit of a debate here. Are we talking about sealed or not? We're going to have a bit of a question about this in general. So let's just hold off. Right now, according to this source, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, we don't possibly. This is the part that we don't possibly like him. Okay? So according to him, it's a sur b'shtia, but mutar b'hana'a. Okay? So now the Gemara asks, "Vahatna, but don't we learn in the Mishnah, Hamafkib perot etz perotav etz alovei kochavim? If you give an ovei kochavim your perot, what's the issue here? What are we worried about? The ovei kochavim switched your wine with his wine. Okay, so it says here, Hamafkib perotav. If you give your perot to an ovei kochavim, harehen ke perotav shel ovei kochavim l'shvi'it ulemaser. When you go pick those up again, you have to treat them as if the Ovei Kochavim could have switched his fruits with your fruits, meaning he could have had perot shvi'it, and he could have switched them with yours, or, okay, now there's a big debate about this maser, or he could have switched it with his perot, and now you're going to have to do trumot and maserot on them. Now, there's a bit of a question about this, because there's actually a machloket about whether you get perot from an Ovei Kochavim, whether you have to do trumot or maserot. So some of Freshim say this clearly holds that you do. Others explain this mission in a totally different way to make it fit in with the other opinion that it's not chayav and shemona masra.
But that's only gidulei eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, it's only talking about eretz Yisrael. Okay. You would have to be talking about eretz Yisrael here, otherwise it wouldn't be relevant. So, if you're according to this, what do you see? You have to be concerned that he might have switched the fruits with his fruits. So why are we concerned that he switched his fruits with your fruits, but we're not concerned that he switched your wine? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera says it's mutar bahana'a, especially we're so machmir on all this wine stuff. So what are the answer? When Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera said that, he was talking about a different case, or a unique case. Kegon shi'ichel lo keren zavit, where you gave him your stuff to watch, and he put it in a particular corner. And this is like if you send something to storage, okay? You store something in a storage company, and you lock it up, and you have the key, and they don't, okay? So the assumption is it was somehow in a unique place, and you locked it, okay? It doesn't say you locked it, but the Mefarshim explain. You can see Rashi says, Yechelo keren zavit umasar lo mafteach o asach chotam. Okay, here you get to the chotam. You somehow sealed off the area, or sealed, maybe even just sealing the barrel, but seems like it was sealed and it was in its unique place. So then you don't have to worry, and it's mutar b'hana'a.
Why would it then be a b'shtia?
Yafeh, ihachi b'shtia nami l'shtirei. So if so, why don't we matir b'shtia? Okay, why don't we let you drink it? Deha Rabbi Yochanan ikla l'parvad. Amar, okay, so now we're going to see, why do we assume that then you should allow it b'shtia? Deha, so Rabbi Yochanan got to the city of Parvad. Amar, it was the city where Bar Kapara lived, but Bar Kapara was no longer alive. Amar, klum yesh mishnat Bar Kapara, is there any Torah of Bar Kapara here? Tana le Rabbi Tanchum demin Parvad, so Rabbi Tanchum from Parvad says to him, yeah, this is what Bar Kapara said. Hamafkid yeno etzel ovei kochavim, mutar b'shtia. Okay, so far, what do we have here? So now we're going to say, well, if we're not worried they're going to switch it, then it should be mutar b'shtia, right? So we struggled with this mutar b'hana'a. How did we answer it? We said it's keren zavit. Well, once it's keren zavit and we're not worried they're going to switch, so then why is it asur b'shtia? Even Bar Kapara said it's mutar b'shtia. Okay, you don't have to worry about it. So now we have to answer that question. In the meantime, since we're already bringing the story mentions that once Rabbi Tanchum told Rabbi Yochanan came looking for some Torah of Bar Kapara, Rabbi Tanchum, from the same city, tells him some halacha. Kari alei, Rabbi Yochanan says about him, Mekom shi'ipol ha'eitz sham yehu. Okay, where the tree falls, that's where you can find it. Meaning, right, if you want to learn the Torah of Bar Kapara, go to his city, that's where you're going to find, right, where the tree fell, where he died, right, that's where you're going to find his Torah. Sham Yehu Salkadatach, Ela Sham, and as what, you're going to find him there? And as Makom Shi Pola 8, it's going to be there? Of course it's not going to be there. It fell already. Ella sham yehu perotav. That's where the perot are going to be. It's an obvious allusion also to the perot, right? He's connecting these concepts of the perotav, which is also this concept of where you leave your fruits, that's where they're going to be, right? Maybe it's also connected to, you know, the way you leave them is the way you're going to find them, okay? That they're going to be the same, meaning the Ovei Kochavim is not going to switch them. Amar Rabbi Zera lo kashya. So now we have to figure out why Bakar Bar says mutar b'shtia and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira said it's asur b'shtia. Ha Rabbi Lezer, ha Rabbanan. They each hold by a different shita of Tanaim. Ditanya, here we see that it's a machloka Tanaim. Echad halokech v'echad asocher bayit b'chatzerosh alovei kochavim. If you purchase or rent a house in a chatzer of an ovei kochavim, umal'uhu yayin, and you fill it with wine, umafteach ochotam b'yad Yisrael. Okay, so the area belongs to the non-Jew, but you're basically living there, and you have the key. Rabbi Lezer, but the Yovei Kochavim obviously is around there. So Rabbi Lezer, Matir v'chachamim osrim. Okay, so now since you're in the chatzer of the Yovei Kochavim, so Rabbi Lezer says, no problem, you have the key. It's fine, you can go. That's Bar Kapara, mutar b'shtia. V'chachamim osrim, and that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, who says it's forbidden. Amar Rav Chia b'reid Rav Yechia bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Chista Amar Rav, v'amri la, Amar Rav Chista Amar Ze'eri, v'amri la, Amar Rav Chista Amar Li Abba Bar Chama. Okay, so there were three versions of who exactly said this in the name of who. Hachi Amar Ze'ere, this is what Ze'ere said. Okay, this is whoever said it in the name of Ze'ere. Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's mutar. Okay, so we now have Bar Kapara says it's mutar. That's like Shita Rabbi Eliezer, and he's the one that we paskin like. Okay, that's why I said we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira in this issue, but if you're mafkid and you have a key, then it's fine. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakom Shtamer Bechotem Echad, Chutz Min Hayayin. Okay, we're going to have two versions of this. The first version is this. Rabbi Elazar says, okay, this is not the same Rabbi Elazar. We're now moving to Rabbi Elazar was a Tana. Rabbi Elazar is in an Amora from Eretz Israel, time period of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Hakom Shtamer Bechotem Echad. If you have one seal on it, that's sufficient. Chutz min hayayin she'eim shtamer b'chotem achad. Okay, when you're talking about other items, you can have one seal and that's fine. But when it comes to wine, what's the concern? They're so excited to bring wine to offer as a libation. If they can't find wine, they're going to take yours. So one chotam is not going to be preventative enough. V'Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu yayin mishtamer b'chotem achad. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says, even wine, one is sufficient. Below pligi, hakir Rabbi Lezer, hakir Rabbanan. Okay, and it's not, it's a weird thing, lo pligi. Of course they're pligi. Okay, but the point is, they're not arguing within one Tana, and you'll see why they're saying this, because the next reading is going to say that they actually are arguing within one opinion. But one is saying, it's mutar b'shtia with chotem echad. That's Rabbi Lezer, which according to this, shows that according to Rabbi Elazar, he understood that Rabbi Elazar is allowing it with chotem echad, which makes sense because we talked about it was sealed, right? It was in a locked room or something. And according to Chachamim, right, we're going to say it's a sur b'shtia because chotem echad is not enough.
You know, it's interesting that quality wines today have a double seal anyhow. The cork and then the...
Right, they have a cork and then they're sealed shut. It's true. Right, yeah, and someone after class mentioned this issue about the drugs, you know, and the pills that had gotten
tamper-proof.
Right. We also have this whole concept of seals and making sure nobody switches anything. And right, double seals.
Literally, yes. Make it harder to get into. I mean, it's exactly the same.
Right, it's exactly the same thing. That you have to open the bottle. Yeah, it's interesting. In Israel, we don't have those bottles. But in America, all the bottles the medications come in are sealed. You know, in Israel, it's just, you know, the
blister pack.
Right, right. They don't even. I can't remember the last time they. Right, they don't sell those bottles. Those little containers. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the second version. Okay, Ika de Amre. Some people say Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakom Shtamer B'Chotam B'Tochotam, Chutz Menayin She'em Shtamer B'Chotam B'Tochotam. He says everything is saved in a chotam b'tochotam, meaning you need a double seal. Except wine, even a double seal, is not sufficient. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu yayin mishtamer b'chotam b'tochotam. even wine, a double seal is sufficient, okay? Meaning everything needs a double seal from a non-Jew, you know, concerned they're going to tamper with it, except for, right, everything, including wine. Thank you. Including wine. And then you'd have to say what? It's not that one holds like Rabbi Elazar and one holds like Rabbanan. It's that nobody holds like Rabbi Elazar. Neither of them hold like him, even though, right, the Eri Paskin like him, but neither of them hold like him. And, right, and then you'd say, Utravayu ke Rabbanan. Okay, so they both hold like Rabbanan. And then what's the debate? Mar savar ki pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Elazar b'chotam achad. Ava b'chotam b'tochotam sharu. They think that Rabbanan say one chotam is not enough, and that's where they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. The whole debate is, what's the machloka between them? Is it with one seal, like we talked about? Yichel lo keren zavid, and you know, he locked the door or something like that. It was locked. Is that what he meant? Aval b'chotam b'toch chotam share, but a double seal is okay. Umar savar filu chotam b'toch chotam asre. And the other opinion holds, no, he thinks, he disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, even, right, he disagrees doubly. Not only one chotam is not enough, but even a double chotam is not enough. You know what I'm thinking of now? When you bring a gun home from the army, it has to be double locked. You have to have it in one, you know, you have to separate it, and then you have to have it behind one lock, and it has to be behind two locks. You know, either, you know, some people say whether your door to the room in the house, or you can put it in a closet and lock the door of the room. It has to have two locks. It's the same kind of idea here. It sounds like this, the chotam b'toch chotam. Now we're going to talk about what a chotam b'toch chotam is. One could be like this, it's sealed and the room is locked. That's a good, right? That reminds me of the gun issue. Okay, so now they want to know, the obvious question is, okay, so now we have two views of this machloket, to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, about are they disagreeing between, or is one holding by Rabbi Elazar and one holding by Chachamim, or are they both disagreeing within Chachamim? And the debate is, how far do Chachamim go to say, you know, this isn't, even wine can't be in a double seal, or it can be in a double seal, just not a single. Okay, so now we want to know what's chotam b'toch chotam. It's not clear cut what these definitions are, and the Mefarshim have many varying explanations of this. As usual, when we talk about things that are based on actual items and terms that not all the Rishonim, you know, had the same things to relate to. So there's a bit of a debate about it. I'll probably just go according to one interpretation. So, hechidami chotam b'toch chotam. Amar Rava, agana de puma de chavita, de chavita shrika, right, has this read? One second. Agana de puma de chavita.
Shrika.
I forgot what that word shrika is.
It's pasted.
Ah, okay. So shricha v'chatima.
Pasted and stent.
Right, okay. So now, what's this agana de puma de chavita? You put a, okay, again, this is one interpretation. You put a basin over the cover of the chavit, okay, over the barrel, and then you seal it, you put like tar around it, and then you engrave like a signature. Okay, like you have your own signature in the chotam. So the double is you put this basin on top and you seal it around the barrel, and then you engrave something in it, like your name. That's chotam b'toch chotam. V'ilo, lo. And if you don't do that, that's not enough. Dikula umahadek, if you put another option, they're giving different options. Another option is you put an upside-down wicker type of basket, like a sal. I don't know if it's wicker or not, but I guess so, from dekel. Right? Those are made from the dekel leaves, or the dekel, I don't know, I guess you call them leaves, right, palm fronds. So dikula umahadek have chotam b'toch chotam. So if you take this, now the assumption is, again, according to one of the readings, you take a barrel that's already sealed, and then you put a basket, an upside-down basket on top, and you seal that in. Some people talk about that these things, like that this one, fits in perfectly, and that's why, because it's very hard to get out, whereas if it doesn't fit perfectly, then maybe not. Again, it's not exactly clear what's going on here, but to me it seems simply, the chavit is sealed, and then the basket is sealed on top. So you have two kind
it's
of openings.
It's just like Mommy's cork example.
Right, it's like the cork example, exactly. And a cork could be a good example like that because it fits in perfectly. So also, it's hard to get out. Okay, next option. Right, so again, if you did this, have chotam b'toch chotam, but, sorry, This is where they get it. If it's not perfectly right, like sealed in or fit in, lo habichotam betochotam. Node bediskia. If you put this basket, like a flask that they had of a node is a like they made it out of skin of a
their leather.
Right, like a leather flask. Okay, so you have a leather flask. And you put it, bediskia, okay, in a bag, like a bag that was made of skin also, okay? You put it inside another bag. Chatimat piv lemata, habichotam betochotam, right? Think about if your garbage is leaking, right? The best way to put it is you put the bag upside down into another bag, you know, or I don't know, maybe that's not the best for the garbage. But think of like an example where sometimes you put something into something else upside down, you know, and then for sure it's going to stay, right? The garbage wasn't a good one. I don't
when
know
I'm freezing cookies, I put them in one Ziploc bag and then I put that one in facing the other direction to put it in the second.
Okay. Okay, fine. So there's all sorts of cases where you do that. So if you put it facing down, then, right, already what's the issue? The opening is not right there when you open it. So again, it's harder to get to. So if you do it like that, that's fine. Habechotam b'tochotam. But piv lemala, if you keep the opening lemala, then lo habechotam b'tochotam. V'chikayif pume legayo v'tzir v'chatim habechotam b'tochotam. Okay, and if you... If you have this bag inside another bag or this flask inside another flask, if you turn the top, the opening in, you bend it down, basically. Okay, instead of turning it upside down, you can also bend it inward. That's also considered chotam betoch chotam. Tanu Rabbanan, barishona hayu omrim, yayin shel ein kushi asur mipnei birat srika. Okay, we're now going to list a bunch of cities that were Samaritan cities, Kutim, which are not chashud on Yei Nesach, because they're not idol worshippers. However, they were in close proximity to idol worshipping cities. So each one, we're going to list a city that was a Samaritan city, and then we're going to say there was another city next to it that was full of idol worshippers. So therefore, they forbade, the concern was that Kutim are makpid on Yei Nesach, so they, like we are, so they might have ended up with wine. If we get wine from them, well, their wine might have been from the idol worshippers. So therefore, you have to be concerned. So Yain Shel Ein Kushi, the Samaritan city, Asur Mipnei Birat Srika. V'Shel Bar Kita, Kuti city again, Asur Mipnei Kfar Parshai, the idol worshipping city. V'Shel Zagdur, Asur Mipnei Kfar Shalim. Chazru Lomar, but that was in the beginning. So they said, all these places are forbidden because of the neighboring city. Chazru Lomar, but afterwards they said, Chaviyot B'tuchot Asurot, Stumot Mutarot. But then they said, no, if they're open and uncovered, then they're problematic. But if they're sealed then or closed, then they're allowed. So now they want to know, Meikar Maisavor or Levasav Maisavor. Right? This is a Braita. Now the Gemara is saying, well, what were they thinking in the beginning? What were they thinking afterwards? Meikav savor ein kuti makpid al maga ovei kochavim. Lo shna p'tuchot v'lo shna stumot. And originally they said the kuti isn't concerned with a non-Jew touching their stuff, meaning they'll let the non-Jew come in contact with their wine. This is what we talked about. We'll talk about more later about once the non-Jew, it's not the non-Jew's wine, it's that they might touch your wine and that might be a problem. So, or that is a problem. So they're saying the kuti isn't makpid on this. And therefore, it's very likely that the non-Jew came in contact with it, which is why we wouldn't drink. So, of course, it can't happen. But, and then, whether it's open, whether it's closed. Ulebasof savor, kilo kapid aptuchot, astumot makpid kapid. So now they say, no, then they realize that when the kutim had a sealed barrel, they wouldn't let the non-Jew come in contact with it. But if it was open, then it was very likely the non-Jew would come in contact with it. And that's why they said only open ones are problematic. So now we're going to say, ustumot mutarot, really? Closed ones are permitted? Uriminhi, doesn't it say somewhere else in a braita, hasholech chavit shel yayin biyad kuti, v'shel tzir v'shel morayis biyad ovei kochavim? If you want to send a gift to a friend, and you send a barrel of wine, and who's your messenger? So if you send a barrel of wine with a kuti, or you send a fish brine or a fish stew with a non-Jew, im makir chotamo v'satmo mutar. If your friend knows your how you seal your stuff, okay? This goes back to if you seal it and you make a little engraving, you know, you kind of write your name on it. So if they're familiar with your seal, then it's mutar. Tosfot says, by the way, you should send a letter that describes your seal to your friend. And then when your friend gets it, they can open it, see if it's your seal, and know whether it was tampered with or not. Right? There's clearly all these laws of tampering, right? How you can tell if somebody tampered with something, which is very relevant nowadays to all sorts of things, like we talked about, that you have to worry about somebody tampering with it.
Wait, I have a question. I'm confused. Is it like, are we worried about his wine itself, or leaving, or like, pidita yain itol? Like, what's...
So here we're worried, we're basically sending it with him, he's our messenger.
But
so,
it's not his wine.
Right, it's not his wine. Okay. So the issue is, did a non-Jew come in contact with it? So if you send it with a kuti, clearly from here, if you know the chotam, then yes, but im lav asur. So clearly what are we worried about? That even though it's closed, right, we're still worried, we just said stumot or mutahot. Right, that we're not worried a kuti is going to let a non-Jew come in contact with something that's closed. This source says we are worried, that we're worried that while the kuti is carrying it, maybe he'll have a conversation with a non-Jew, maybe the non-Jew will open it, and then we'll have an issue.
So it's obviously, like, when it's their wine, like, it's under their possession, we don't touch it at all?
Right. If it's their wine, if kuti you're saying, or a non-Jew? Ah, so right. Here, we're all, that's a good question. They're not relating to what about their own wines. I'm trying to remember. Right. They're... Right. Earlier it said the yayin shel ein kushi is asur mishum birat tzrika. It sounds like only if they're close to a city of non-Jews, then we have to worry about it. Sounds to me like that's the case. What's the what were we
the
saying about
the says that if they close it, if they seal their own barrel because mm-hmm. they want to sell it to Jews and they know that Jews won't touch it,
right?
Then it's okay. But if the barrel was open, then they weren't necessarily planning to sell it to Jews and they weren't being so careful.
Mm-hmm. Right, so now
so
the issue
like their own wine
right.
as long
so
as sealed.
The issue is going to become, we're going to see this also here, that the issue is, are they? Why would they be machpid on not having non-Jews come in contact with it?
Because
they know the Jewish market. They want the Jewish market. They want the Jews to buy their wine. So because of that, they're careful about certain things, okay? But the question is, how do we know when they're being careful and when they're not? What are the assumptions? So we're going to see this now. So... right, so that's why they're saying if it was open, then we know they're not. It's a sign they weren't being careful, and if it was sealed, then we know they can be careful about it. So it would apply, I think, the same to their wines or wines that we're sending. I think that's truth is here, they're relating to the same thing, because their wines, again, the issue is not did they buy it from non-Jews and then are reselling it. Somehow they're not really concerned about that, but they're concerned that maybe they let non-Jews come in contact with it. And the point is that since they want to keep the Jewish business, they therefore are going to make sure, it's like classic, right, of a non-Jewish company that holds to certain kosher standards, right, because they want the Jewish business and therefore they're going to be careful that non-Jews don't come in contact with it. Okay, and the Tzira Morayas of Avdei Kochavim is a good question what the issue is. Again, the issue is maybe they'll change it for their fish. Okay, in other words, they might switch it and give their own fish, which would be non-kosher fish. Or the Morayas, some people said it was fish stew, and they would sometimes add wine because it was an expensive thing, and they would kind of to make it go farther. So they might add wine to it, which would then be a wine issue. Okay, so if you know the Chotam, the Sotmo, Mutar, Vim, Lav, Asur. So what do you see here? If the guy doesn't know your chotam, even if it's sealed, it's going to be forbidden. And we just said stumot is mutar. So Amar Rabbi Zera lo kasha, kam ba'ir, kam ba'derech. Okay, now we have a classic. In the city, he's going to be makpid because people will see him and people will know. But if it's ba'derech, he says, if a non-Jew comes to contact with him, nobody will pay attention. In the city, people will notice and then they'll say, oh, we're not going to buy from that kuti. There's good hashkacha, right? You have hashkacha on something. Well, when nobody's looking, you know, maybe they won't be so careful about it. But when the mashkiach comes, obviously they're going to be careful. When there's concern, the mashkiach's going to come. But if they're out there in nowhere's land, nobody's going to pay attention. So therefore, they're going to say, when we said before, shalech habib biyad kuti, right? We're going to be worried. That's because it's baderech. He's sending it baderech, and it's, you know, makes sense also that it would be baderech. Matkifla Rabbi Yirmiya, midi hanach de'ir lo baderech atu. But wait a minute. All the wine was made in the wine, right, in the fields. The fields were always outside the cities, which means that any wine that gets to the city has to go through the derech first. Meaning that when the kuti is bringing the wine to the city before he then sends it up, or, you know, anything, before he sells it, at that point he could have let a non-Jew come in contact with it. So how could you say that that's the distinction? So, El Amar Abiyirmiya, Bein Hagitot Shaninu. Kevan de chuleyama afchei chuleyama afchei mirtat. We're talking about bein hagitot, okay? In other words, where is it allowed? It's only allowed while they're still by the wine press. And there, since there's a lot of people there, they're gonna be very careful. But once they leave that area and they walk through the path to get to the city, then already you can't do it. So the only time you can do this is from the wine press, in other words, if it's not sealed. Okay, so when we talked about before, this ptuchot, right, the ptuchot are problematic, but the stumot are okay, that's coming straight from the wine press. Amar, hashti ichazile, so this, why will he be fearful? He'll say, ichazile, if they look and they see me letting the non-Jew come in contact with it, mafsiduli. Here we have it explicitly in the Gemara, right, I'm going to lose my business. Itmar. Okay, so now we're going to have another machloket here. Mipnei ma'asru shechar shel avdei kochavim. This was all wine we've been talking about. What about beer? So then I want to know, for what reason is beer of avdei kochavim asur? There's no issue of yein nesech. They don't offer up beer to their gods. Rami Barchama amar Rabbi Yitzchak mishum chatanut. We made reference to this the other day, even though we haven't seen it inside. But there's concern that if you drink, right, intoxicating beverages, that will lead to marriage. Rav Nachman Amar, Mishum Giloy. This has nothing to do with any of these issues. We finally get to the connection between Giloy and our sugya. Right? It's not just they're related to wine, but here we're going to have beer is a problem because it was open. Okay? Like it was open at some point, and as they're not careful about not leaving things open. So then they say, a Giloy Demai. What Giloy are we talking about? Ilema, we're going to learn a little bit about beer production. Giloy de Naziata, Ananami Maglina. And in the beginning of the process, you leave it open in order for it to, I forget now, what's the, if in the beginning of the process, it...
Probably to get the yeast from the air.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We explained it well. What is it? Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, I don't know. I think in the Koran they have a good explanation there. But anyway, they explain it. So in the beginning process is you leave it open in order for it to, I guess, to start fermenting. So we also do that. In other words, and obviously we're not worried about snakes getting in. This is a great question. Why are we not worried about snakes getting in? Either snakes aren't interested in the beer in that time of the process, or it could be one of these things that, yes, we have to worry about snakes, but on the other hand, if we do that, we can never have beer. Now, to a certain extent, we can't make these gzerot that we can't keep to. So the rabbis weren't going to go so far as to say, so they said, oh, that stage, right? So it's a good question as to why they allow it. Is it because it's just not possible to make a gzera on that? Or really the snakes don't get into it? Okay? So we also do. Ela chavita, ela de chavita. Once it's in the barrel, ananami maglina. We also keep it open. There was a concern, I think, that while it's bubbling and doing all that process, it might crack the chavit, so they leave it open to get the air out. So again, we also do that. So lotzricha ba'atra dematz lumaya. It's in a place where they let the waters, now again, it's not clear what the water was at what stage, but at some point they needed water in the process, and what they would do is they would be let the water get salul. We saw this yesterday. In order for the water to get clear, they would let it sit out uncovered and let all the sediment fall to the bottom. So we're worried, in other words, it was a place where, now we're saying, basically, the non-Jews made beer in a bit of a different way than we did, and they let the water sit to get clear. Right? It's, in a sense, sounds like it was better, if they were better off.
We might have done that too. We might just have covered the water, and they didn't.
Maybe. That could be. It could be that you don't need a cover. You could cover it while it's doing that, and we're careful to cover it. Maybe they're not. That's a good explanation. So then they say, Elameata yashan tishrei. But then we should allow old stuff to be mutar, because if you remember, it won't. If the snake gets into it, it won't keep for a long time. If the venom is in it, then it won't keep for a long time, and then we won't have it. So therefore, if it's yashan, it should be allowed. Da'amarav, is it? What is the note there? I guess it's amarav. Okay, or maybe it's amarebi. It must be rebi. Da'amarebi yashan mutar. Okay, because yashan is mutar. So what do they say? Eim minicho, right? Why is yashan mutar? Because eim minicho leyashan. If the eris is in there, it won't allow it to get old. And hechmitz mutar, if it gets spoiled, turns to vinegar, it's mutar. Because again, eim minicho lachmitz. If the poison is in there, the venom, then it won't actually turn to vinegar. So why then would yashan be forbidden according to this? Right? Again, we're saying You have to remember, we had two opinions. Let's just go back. Why the beer is forbidden. Number one, it's forbidden because of chatanut. That one we've left aside. That one works fine to explain. Number two, the other person says it's forbidden because of giloy. If it's giloy, we finally narrowed it down to it's only in a place where they let the waters get clear, and therefore we're worried about giloy. And then it wouldn't apply to yashan, but they say, oh no, it would apply to yashan, as they're asking a question on it. So why is yashan also forbidden? Gzera yashan atu chadash. We're not going to start distinguishing this kind of beer, yes, this kind of beer, no, just across the board, no, and that way you won't have an issue. Rav Papa, Mefikin Le, now we're going to see all these rabbis who bought beer from non-Jews, but did it in a particular way, and it's clear that their concern was chatanut and not giloy. Because if it was giloy, they wouldn't be allowed to buy. So how did they avoid chatanut? Rav Papa Mefikin Le La'abava Dechanuta, he would take it outside the door. In other words, he would go to a, let's say, a pub, but instead of sitting in the pub drinking the beer, he would drink it outside. He would stand outside the pub to drink v'shate. Rav Achai Maitele Lebeite v'shate, he would wait till he got home to do it. Utravayim mishum chatanut, right? In both of these, obviously, the issue was chatanut. Rav Achai avid harchaka yetera. They're saying Rav Achai went a little far. In other words, he didn't need to go that far, that he would wait all the way to his house. Rav Shmuel brabisna ikla lemargoan. He got to the city of Margoan, where the assumption is people weren't so knowledgeable. Aitu lechamra, and they were Jewish people, but they brought him wine. Velo ishti. Okay, he was worried that maybe it had come in contact with non-Jews. Aitu lechichra, they brought him beer. Velo ashti, and he also didn't drink it. Bishlama chamra, we understand chamra, mishum shimsa, because it's got, it could have had the yayin nesach, right? It could be yayin nesach. Or, you know, it could be a non-Jew who touched it, came in contact with it. But shichra mishum mai, why shichra? Mishum shimsa de shimsa. Again, we're having like a gzera yashan atu chadash. Again, they're going to make a gzera. Well, we're not going to, I don't want to drink shichar, because maybe then I'll come to drink the wine. Let's stay far away.
Also says he's setting an example.
Okay, it could be he was trying to set an example to teach people. Yeah, could be. Amarav, hi shichra da'aramai shari. B'chia b'rei lo nishtemine. Rav says, the shechar of aramayim, okay, non-Jews, is mutar. However, chia, my son, doesn't drink from it. So this is a bit strange. Manavshach. I shari, if it's mutar, the kuleyama shari, it should be allowed to everybody. I asir, the kuleyama asir. Also, you might want to say, if he's machmir, why is he machmir on his son and not on himself? So they give an interesting answer. Ela rav savar mishum giluya. Okay, we see, by the way, there's a back and forth here between some people who felt the issue was giloy and some people who felt it was chatanut, which is interesting because often you have a sugya where they'll bring all sorts of stories and they clearly side to one direction. And here you see some rabbis were looking at it this way and some were looking at it the other way. So he held it was mishum giloy. Va'azim merorah dekashuta v'kalele ziarei v'dalke malkele tfe. Okay, so now they're going to say that this stuff gets into the kashut that's in the beer, and the beer weakens the venom. So in other words, it's different from a regular drink. Yes, we're worried about the venom coming in. However, it gets weakened by the beer itself, which means that we're not so worried about it, and that's why it's mutar to everybody. But chia b'rei, but now we're going to see why chia his son, ho'il v'lake lo nishte mine. He was weak. Okay, in other words, strong people can tolerate it because the venom is already weakened. But if you're weak, let's say you have an autoimmune deficiency, you have to be careful what you drink or eat, right? What you come in contact with, but it might not affect other people, will affect you. So Chia, his son, was weaker, and therefore he couldn't drink it. Amar Shmuel, kol shratzim yesh lam eres. Okay, there's a whole bunch of shratzim that have this venom in it. Shal nachash mimit. Okay, the nachash is eris, we've already seen this, can kill people. Shal shratzim eino mimit, but the poison, the venom that's in other types of creepy crawlers doesn't kill. Amar Shmuel l'chia barav. Shmuel says l'chia barav. Bar Arya, the son of the Aryeh, because he's the son of Rav, you know, the son of the great. Tave emalach milta mal yata, dahavu amar rav avucha. I'm going to tell you a really interesting thing that your father told me. Hachi amar avucha. This is what your father Rav told me. Hane aramai zukane, tavushate giluya velo metu. And here's the classic question. If uncovered, this goes back to what we said before. It's really interesting. We said before that we don't have to worry. If you remember, one opinion said you don't have to worry about the water of the non-Jews, of the Aramaim, rather than the Almalatas, the Almanot, right? Because, what was the reason? Because they keep their water clean. right? And therefore, they're going to be worried about cleanliness, and they're going to keep it covered. Why, right? If there's a venom in the snakes, why wouldn't they be worried about this venom in the snakes? What's the difference, Jews, non-Jews, with venom in snakes? Shouldn't they be worried about getting killed? So here he says that Rav said they don't die. Why? In other words, they do drink it. And these zukane, which means they're disgusting people, why don't they die? I did the achli shkatzim v'ramasim chavil gufayu. The shkatzim are the creepy crawler creatures that they eat, right? We don't eat bugs and things like that, but they do. And that protects them against the venom of the snake, which all of a sudden, again, whether you accept this or not is a separate thing, but he's giving a reason at least. He's addressing the fact that Jews are so worried about this, but not non-Jews. And he says it's because of the diets. What they eat protects them from it, so it doesn't kill them. It might, you know, weaken them, but that acts as an antidote. And we don't eat those, so we don't have that antidote. Again, interesting to think about. We'll stop here for today. Or maybe, whatever.